All right, I think we have almost everybody in their seats. If you'll bow your heads, I'll ask God's blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, our loving Creator God, we pause before you now, before this Bible study time. We thank you so very much for your guidance and your direction in our lives. And Father, that you have created such a wonderful place for us to exist. We're able to appreciate the beauty that you have given us and sometimes find it difficult, but we need to appreciate the heat that we're in also. Father, we thank you now that we can come before you, that we can learn more about your word. We appreciate the message earlier and pray now that you would open our minds and that you would help us to drink in of your word, to be able to take that into our hearts and make it a part of our walk in our life daily. Pray that you would be here in spirit now, that you would guide and direct all that is said and done, and that you will help us to truly love and follow your direction. We thank you so very much for this. Place us now into your hands and pray all this in and by the authority of your Son, our soon coming King, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, for those that don't know, my name is Bill Johnson. It's been a while, so just in case you didn't remember who I was. But I've been having fun for the last couple of weeks over in Arizona. I went there for the Challenger program that we do have. Many people look at it as the next step after our teen camp program. And it's one that we do where we try to have a physical challenge and also leave the participants with a spiritual challenge also. With this, the participants that we had this year, we did a Grand Canyon rim-to-rim tour. So for those that don't know what that is, the Grand Canyon, it's a small little cavity in the earth in the north part of Arizona. And we went to the north rim, started there, did a little hike down, spent a couple nights and hiked back up the south side. Very important that you do it from the north to the south because it's about 1,000 feet less elevation that you have to climb on the south side. So from my engineering perspective, I was thankful for the planning. But here's the participants that we had this year. We had 8 participants, ages 18 up through 24. It was a fairly young group. One of the things that we noticed, though, was this year they came together as a group and bonded physically faster than just about any other group that James Capo or John Pinelli or myself had been a part of. In fact, the first night that we were there in Phoenix, they seemed like they were all just best buds and had known each other for years and years. So that was very nice. The Challenger program that we had on the rim-to-rim trek, here you can see part of what we were walking through. You can see that the places, there's no handrails there. So those that like handrails and don't necessarily like steep cliffs, looking over there at Laura when I do that, she knows what this means. We had one of our campers that would do this all the time, get close to a steep cliff, and that's what that means, steep cliff. But the Challenger program brings together young adults for the following purposes, 4 purposes here. Spiritual growth, so looking at how they can further develop their character. One of the few of the things that we discussed there were obviously conviction, commitment that you would have to God's way of life, and then you need to courageously live that out and live it in your life. The next one would be leadership. We talked about influence. John Maxwell has used the term that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And we took that to a step farther, saying you need knowledge, skills, insights, and then that will lead to you living a value-driven, a purposeful life for God. Service was another big focus that we have. When we're talking to them, we're working with them, talking about service that they can have to help others, to be outward-focused rather than just self-focused. Part of what you do during the climb is you help each other out when they have need for that. You don't just look out for yourself, but you help others that are around you. And the following one, or the last one that we had, was fellowship. Now, fellowship we described as being more than friendship, fellowship being encouraging and exhorting each other. And if you think about it, you can have friends from all walks of life. But when you get to fellowship, you need people that are of like mind, that you can talk to about spiritual issues, about deep issues in your life, So the concept there of encouraging and exhorting those that are of like mind, and that's creating a large bonding experience that we would have. It's interesting right here, I talked about being outward focused. You can see the first one in line there, who is our program director. Right after this picture was snapped, he took a misstep and almost went down that canyon. He slipped, and the first participant in the line there happened to grab his arm and pull him back. Again, that's why I'm saying it would be nice if they had handrails. Also, I'm afraid of heights, but I just hugged up next to the canyon walls as best I could. When you get there, when you get to the canyon and you look down into this, it's 10 miles across at the area that we came into it, 10 miles across, so you can see across there. But when you see the beauty that's there, and you see all the different geology that's there, it's phenomenal. It takes your breath away. One of the participants said that, wow, I am so happy that physically I could die now, happy having seen and experienced. And this is before we took a step down into the canyon. It is something that truly does take your breath away, and it helps you see and appreciate the creation that God has given us. We have great mountains that we have to climb. We have great canyons that we can go down in. We have forests that we can spend time in, enjoy the rain. Let's talk about rain for a little bit. Oh, but there are so many things that God has given us, and such a blessing. And this is just another one of those, to see the different colors that you have that ring the canyon and realize that those were not just put there by mistake. But God, who has a purpose and has a purpose for our lives, allows us to see part of that creation in our lives. Did that change? No. Oh, okay. There we go. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 24. Psalm chapter 24. One of the interesting things about this particular adventure is the fact that when you take off, last year when I went to the Wind Rivers, you take off and you automatically start walking uphill. The Grand Canyon is one of the few places that when you start your trek, start your hike, you go downhill, which is very refreshing. Psalm chapter 24, we'll start in verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. So we can see here that God is talking about a climb. And I can easily put this into when we were in the canyon and we're looking up and we have a climb to go. One of the things that we told the participants was when you look from the north rim over to that south rim, that's your goal. Every time you get a chance, look up there and see that south rim. Consider that to be the kingdom of God. And help that to draw you through the canyon. Enjoy the experiences that you're going to have there, but keep your eyes focused on the kingdom. Keep your eyes focused on the south rim. So we use that interchangeably as we were on the program. We'd use that from time to time. So here you can see the Colorado River that cuts through the canyon. It is such beauty that we have there. We know that we need to have a passion for the spiritual climb that God has given us. We're going to have obstacles that are going to be placed in our path, obstacles that we bring upon ourselves. You can think of it as a constant wrestling match with gravity. But we have to look at and say, how many people never reach their potential? How many people start down the canyon and never make the trek back up the other side? Now, each year, they have many people that they have to pull out with helicopters. They'll fly them into certain locations they have and pull them out because they were either careless or accidentally slipped off of the path, did something that they shouldn't particularly do. But when God tells us that we can have a peace that surpasses all understanding, from a physical standpoint, when we came out of the canyon and had that first drink with ice in it, or had that ice cream cone up at the top, wow, that was so refreshing. But that brought back to mind a peace, a calming that surpasses all understanding. When you look at some of the views that God has given us, here's a particular view, and this is at a sunset time. That's how they get those brilliant red hues to come out of the canyon. They do that right near the sunset time, but God is calling us to more than salvation. God calls us to service along the way, doesn't he? We've been given incredible gifts. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. God has given us incredible gifts, not just the gift of the beauty of creation that we can enjoy, but we ourselves, personally, he's given us gifts. Matthew chapter 25. We'll pick it up in verse 14. Matthew 25 and in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. So we've been given gifts, haven't we? According to our ability. Sometimes we like to try to hide those gifts or not put those out so that we can be used for good. And we think, well, I'm just being shy. The question is, are you just being passive, not utilizing the gift that God has given you? Let's continue on. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Isn't that what we want to hear? Now here we have a servant that was given talents by God. Utilize those to multiply those talents. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to multiply those talents. When we were working with the participants, we were talking about gifts. And we encouraged them, because there's a lot of time when you're on the trail that, yes, you can look around and see the awesome beauty, but you have a lot of time to think. Many places we had to go single file. In fact, for me, most places I wanted to go single file. So you can't easily have conversation all along the trek that we were going. But we encourage them to think about the gifts that God has given them and how they can use those for leadership and for service to those around, to those that they fellowship with, to those of like mind. I'd encourage you to think about those also. Let's continue on. Verse 22, he also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Even what he has will be taken away. We have great talents, great gifts that God has given us. And how do we choose to use those great gifts? We cannot sit idly by. Again, we heard about God's Spirit and how it can be residing in us. Is it okay for us to just have that Spirit residing in us? Or does God want that flowing through us? God expects, let's go farther than that and say God requires that we use the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we use that on a regular basis to improve, to take another step on our trek, and to help others on theirs. We have God's Spirit for spiritual insight, personal growth, and that personal growth can be in faith, in character, and service. Yes, we'll struggle, but the question is, will we climb the mountain, or in this case, will we climb out of the canyon? This is a view from the South Rim. 5 million visitors see the Grand Canyon every year. Typically, they'll pull up in their cars, jump out, take their cameras, run over to the edge, snap, snap, away we go. It's a beautiful shot. You can see various aspects of the canyon. That's not what God wants us to be, the visitor that just stops by and takes a snapshot. God wants us to get down in His beautiful creation. He wants us to not only climb down, but climb back up and learn along the way. That's what He wants from us. You see, 5 million visitors see the Grand Canyon. Less than 0.7% set a foot down inside the canyon. As we were coming up that final day, we met several of those that chose to, dabble a toe in the canyon. Come down just a little ways. Maybe come down a quarter of a mile or so and then scurry back up to the top. And then you have even fewer than that. I say less than 5,000 do a rim to rim every year. Less than 1%, 1 in 1,000. Now a rim to rim is going from one rim of the canyon, the north to the south, which is the most common. We met one particular gentleman that was looking to do a rim to rim to rim. He started on the south, he was going to go to the north and then come back to the south. He got two-thirds of the way into it and realized he wasn't going to make it. Challenges in life. The one thing that would keep each of us going on the trek, because there were difficult times for most of us, well, at least for the leaders, the older ones. But you just think, one more step. I'll take one more step in the right direction. Lift your eyes up. Look at that southern rim and allow that to draw you for the next step. Look around and see and enjoy God's beauty. Make sure that you continue to take a sip of water every so often so that you don't get dehydrated, which that's heat exhaustion is number one reason for people being helicoptered out of the canyon. And you have people that get sprains and strains all the time that are there. So this is the view, and it's a beautiful view. It shows you some of God's creation, but not even close to being there. One of the things that I noticed that I would do fairly often as we were walking along is I would just reach my hand out and cause a little bit of erosion, I guess, on the side. But I wanted to touch the walls of the canyon. Here's a cutaway. Well, should be. Oh, there we go. I forgot about that. So you can see up here, well, up at the top, it says start of the North Rim. This white track shows you where we went. Now, towards the end of it, which is the bottom of the slide, you can see, you might think that I just got a little shaky with the pin. Those are called switchbacks. That'll test your mettle. When we're in the switchbacks of life, one of the switchbacks was called the Devil's Corkscrew. This last one here was called Jacob's Ladder. Interesting names for that. But when that first tough one was the Devil's Corkscrew, and you get through that, and you're thankful for that. But it helps us as Christians to be able to see what is it that we have to go through on a daily basis. So then we finished in the south. Here's a cutaway to be able to show. The red circles show the campgrounds that we stayed at. The one on the right-hand side shows the north rim. And when we're looking at the north rim, that would be 8,250 feet. When we stayed up there the night before, it was a nice cool evening. Came out of Phoenix where it was 110 degrees. And then that first night we stayed there and it was in the mid-50s by the morning when we were waking up. So rolling out of my hammock was very, very comfortable. And then we got to the north rim, started the Kaibab Trail, and headed down. So from 8,250 feet down to 4,080 feet, which is where our campground was, Cottonwood, we stopped by Roaring Springs, which is where all of the water for the Grand Canyon, all down in the canyon, all of the north rim, all the south rim, and a small town named View, all get their water from. The water coming out of the rock, and it's interesting, our participants did something that James Capo said was probably only done by typically geological students, etc., that hike into the canyon, and those that get paid, the forestry and such. They hiked up the Roaring Springs waterfall and then went off to the side and went up to where it actually came out of the rock. You see, it's interesting the way they get their water down there in this particular canyon, the Roaring Springs Canyon, is all of the moisture up on the North Plateau, North Kaibab Plateau. Hundreds of acres up there. But it sifts through the limestone and the sandstone until it gets down to the mauve sandstone, which is impermeable, and it hits that, and then it comes right out of the rock. 4 to 40 cubic feet per second. What's that mean? A basketball is approximately a cubic foot, a little bit less. So think 4 to 40 of those coming out every second. That's a lot. And it supplies all the water for down in the canyon. How would the canyon be different if it wasn't for that water being there? The water comes from 38 inches of rain that they get per year, but it gets 138 inches of snow on average. Put it in perspective, Anchorage, Alaska. The record for Anchorage, Alaska is 133 inches of snow. See, I'm talking about snow. That's nice when you go out to your car later on. But to see that water, and they were able to go up and see the water actually coming out of the rock and realize that it's symbolic of God's Holy Spirit and then running down and creating such a beautiful waterfall picture as it comes down, and then being so useful to mankind. Can you imagine what the canyon would be like if they did not have water sources down there? We wouldn't be able to get there to get these pictures. All right, the round ring, the oblong ring that you see at the bottom, that one is the Bright Angel Campground, where we stayed there, or Phantom Ranch, one of the most famous places. You can send a postcard, and it's the only place they deliver by mule. We had one participant. It was interesting when that was brought out, thought that they would send a postcard to themselves and they would have a mule that would show up at their front door. Okay. The mule doesn't quite go that far. But it was interesting down there, down at that campground. We enjoyed playing. By taking 4 days to go through this, you can do it a lot faster. We were able to have side trips, going to Roaring Springs, going to Ribbon Falls, beautiful places that we could frolic and spend time and draw closer together. Mr. Capo brought out the fact that Ribbon Falls reminded him of En Gedi over in Israel, where David hid out from King Saul. And it was just a spot that you go back into the canyon and it just turns green and lush with the water coming down from a waterfall. That's just beautiful. But not only was the physical beauty there, but to be able to understand and tie that in to God's Word. So then we start up the other side, and that was quite a trip. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Here's a cutaway, and it shows you the different layers that you have. The third one down on the right-hand side is called the Coconino Sandstone. That's the big white rim that you see around. They call it the bathtub rim. And it's very prevalent in pictures that you'll see. But each one of these, I don't have time to go into this, but could easily do a Bible study just looking at these different layers and proving the fact of all those that believe in young earth, the young earth only being 6,000 years old, and you walk into this canyon and you tell me that in one flood with Moses that you could lay down all those different layers. And that's what they believe. Most professing Christians believe in a young earth. And yet scientists look at that and they say, it's not possible. Couldn't happen. God has created something so beautiful for us, and yet it also leaves the fingerprints that we can look into and understand a big part of the past. That's for another time. All right, the physical goal that we gave to them was to traverse the Grand Canyon from North Rim to South Rim, and to do that in 4 days. We started off Monday morning about 6 o'clock, stepping into the canyon at about 55 degrees. 4 days later, on Thursday at 10 a.m., we stepped out of the canyon. 24 and a half miles, and I say direct trails because each day, and it was planned out so that we could go a certain distance and then we could do side trips. Take little hikes, go splash in the water and cool off. Very enjoyable. 5,770 feet down, 4,380 feet up the south side. Temperatures from 110 degrees Fahrenheit in the shade, I'll show you something about that later, to 55 degrees Fahrenheit up at the north rim. So we all came together for a challenge, for a great adventure, if you will. And part of the Challenger program is to challenge people physically. And that's why we take this particular trek this year, was to be able to challenge physically. When we look at that, we also have the experience of the great scenic beauty that we have, the wilderness that was all around us, the wonderful animals. Are scorpions called animals? Insects? But very few attempt the rim to rim, and less make it, and we had a group that we were able to do that with. And that pulls them together in not just friendship, but fellowship. Not only do we have physical goal, but we brought out spiritual goal, to be a part of the family of God, to be a part of the kingdom of God, and we tried to get across the point that in your daily life, you've got to keep God's kingdom focused. Keep that in the forefront of your mind. We know Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first. That means to keep your eyes on that goal. Keep focusing on that goal. To be first fruits in the kingdom of God. We need to be working on a PhD in character development. Here's a picture of John Wesley Powell. No, this wasn't me when I came out of the canyon after not shaving for a few days. I don't think I could ever grow a mustache like that. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. John Wesley Powell, he was a school teacher. He chose that he liked to get out of doors and to be able to explore and to see different geological things, and he did that up in the Midwest. When the Civil War came along, he became a Civil War, a member of the Civil War, and he was fighting. And at a battle in Shiloh, he had his arm taken off. They bandaged up his arm, and he went back into active service. Now, he needed a lot of care for his arm, so he had to get special permission for his wife to serve right alongside of him and give him care as he needed it throughout the day. How's that for a loving wife, for a helpmeet? But here's a man that had his arm blown off. The easy thing for him would have been to, okay, I'm done. But not only does he go back and finish his time in the Civil War, but then after the Civil War, 1869, May 24th, he starts off on a trek over 1,000 miles, starting off on the Green River up in Wyoming. 10 men, himself and 9 others, get in 4 boats. Little wooden boats. In fact, I may have a rendering of that. Get in that boat. They put all their supplies in there, and they start down the river. exploring the Grand Canyon. Up until now, majority of the United States, the larger areas of it, have been explored. They've heard all kinds of things about this huge canyon from the Indians, but the Indians said you have to stay away from there. It makes the gods angry if you go near it because of the pain and the toil and the life that they lost when they went near it. But John Wesley Powell took a group of men and started down this, what became the Grand Canyon. Now, here's a map of where they went. You can see the start up there towards the top. And then coming down, about one, not quite a month into it, one of the men that was brought on because he was a great adventurer, he left. He said, guess what? I've had enough adventure for one lifetime. Those were his words. I've had enough adventure for a lifetime. So they lost him. They shortly after that, they actually hit up with the Colorado River. And they started going down. I bring out the point at the very bottom there. You see Bright Angel, August 17th. We stayed at the Bright Angel campground. We left out on August 17th. They left out on August 17th. They were 142 years previous to us, but they left out on August 17th. So that was an interesting tie-in to our Grand Canyon trek. Now here's the next point that I want to make that was interesting. Now they had difficulties. They rolled their boats. They got stuck on rocks. The sheer cliffs kept them in their boats when they would like to try to portage to go around extremely fast-moving rapids. Three men pulled Mr. Powell aside on August 27th at Separation Canyon. Got its name afterwards. And they said, we don't think we're going to make it on the river, so we're going to hike out. So they, the next morning, packed up some of their gear and they hiked out. They were never seen again. August 29th. Now, John Wesley Powell was nice enough to leave one of the boats there in case they came back and wanted to finish the trip. If they only knew where the end was. August 29th. John Wesley Powell and the remaining men with him, the five that were still there, came upon men that were fishing by the mouth of the Virgin River, the ending point. How close those three were, and yet they chose to give up. Now, for them, they couldn't see the end. They didn't know where the end was. For us, we know. We know it's going to be a constant struggle, a constant battle, but God has many blessings for us along the way. That's why we kept telling them, keep your eyes on the finish line. Keep your eyes there. We have The question I would have for you is, what scriptures keep you going? There will be obstacles and trials and difficulties. Here's some of the obstacles that we ran into. Rattlesnake. This was right alongside the trail. A pink rattler. Find him down there in the bottom of the canyon. Here is the 140-plus degrees that we saw. Down to the lower right, you can see a blue arrow pointing over there. Was the temperature in the shade that we saw there that was 110 degrees. Now, was it truly 140? That gauge did work because when we got ready to go to bed, that was down to about 104. So it truly was working, but I don't know if you get 140 degrees down in the canyon. But that was another obstacle that we ran into. Someone might think this is a cute, furry little animal. Beware of the rodents. Actually, look how chubby that thing is. All the squirrels down there, their feet would barely touch the ground because of all the food that they would find. They found some in our packs, too. But beware the squirrel. All right. So if we look at, if we keep our focus on the kingdom of God, if we keep our focus on where we need to go. I mean, think about how many people came up to this canyon, and at this particular point that I'm showing you this picture, it's only 400 feet across, but at other places it's 10 miles across and more. Just think about how difficult a choice that would be to say, we're going to do a rim-to-rim on this. What scriptures keep you going? Now, for time, I'm going to give you a couple that work for me, but this is where I was going to try and get interactive, but I think we're running a little short on time. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where does our strength come from? When you're down in the canyon and we needed sustenance, we would take in food. It's interesting, while you're hiking, you aren't that hungry, so some beef jerky, some trail mix, an occasional power bar would do the job. But then at the end, you would take in nourishment because you needed to put back what you had been expending. But Christ is the one that strengthens us. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able, but will also through the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. How comforting is that to us when we truly believe what God's word says? Psalms 123. Starting in verse 1, unto you I lift my eyes, and that's what we tried to get across, was keep your eyes up and focused on the goal. Unto you I lift my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. And we can go on and on. Revelation 21, no more tears. Those are the types of scriptures that can draw us, that can pull us forward. Now, this had no meaning other than it's just a pretty sunset. Arizona has beautiful sunsets. So, but here again shows that step by step, you have to be careful. You have to watch every step and let God guide those steps of ours. Ephesians 5 and verse 25 through 27. Here I've got 5:26. We have husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. He that might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. We heard about in the sermon today about the word of God, how important, and getting that into our lives. As I heard somewhere, I forget, Dawn was showing me, so many people are interested in Facebook, and yet the comment that we really should look at is we need to get our face in the book. And so many people are texting, and we need to get our minds into the text. But here again, where a waterfall out in the middle of nowhere on one of our side trips, and again we can bring out God's word, that God's word will wash you and cleanse you and bring about the purification. Because you can imagine how dirty we were before stepping into a creek or a waterfall like this, and how positive that can be. Almost done here. Let me. Altitude can change your perspective. When we have made a climb and we get to the end, that cool drink is so wonderful and refreshing. Now, the water we had was cool down in the canyon. But think about this concept. Altitude can change your perspective. This was called the box. And it's right before we came out to see the Colorado River, but it's a couple of miles long. And you can see down towards the bottom, you see that hat that's there. That's one of our participants. But just in front of that, you can see a little bit of the trail as it just starts to meander and wander through the box. You need to make it through the box early in the day. We got up that particular day. Was at 4:20 so that we could be on the trail by a little after 5. I think we were on by 5:15. So we could get through the box before it got too hot, to become too much of an obstacle for us. But the concept here, altitude changes your perspective. I bring that out because here's the perspective from what we were calling the goal, from the south rim. We cannot stop climbing. We came out Thursday at 10 a.m., you see that perspective? We can look back. You can see the trail down there that we came through, the canyon we came through. In fact, looking at that, I can tell you, or I talked to you about the box, at the tip of that red arrow is where the box is. Beautiful part of the canyon, but a part to get through to make it to the south rim. Altitude changes your perspective. When we made it out and we could look back down, do you think there was a sigh of relief? Do you think there was, wow, we made our goal? The question is, did we? You know what we did Friday morning? Just for fun. We got up early again, and we summited Humphreys Peak, 12,600 feet. Coming back down from there, as we got close to the summit, we saw the clouds were starting to move in. We summited quickly, got some pictures, and came back down. And then hail, thunder, lightning, sleet, all hit us on our trek back down. There's always going to be another mountain to climb while we're still alive in this physical life. Question I have for you, are you driven or are you drawn? Are you driven or are you drawn? We'll finish up by turning to Joshua chapter 14. Here's a picture looking out before we started the trek. Why do people climb things? Why do people do rim to rims? There's a story of an old tomcat that was driven up a tree by a dog. That same tomcat, when a bird flew up in the tree, was drawn up into that tree. The difference is that as soon as the ferocious dog left, the tomcat came back down. As soon as the obstacle, the trial in its life, left, it came back down. We can't afford to let ourselves come back down. We need to be drawn by being a part of the family of God and in the kingdom of God. We need to be passionate about that. For us, climbing was making it to the south rim, which we equated to the kingdom of God. Caleb, and we'll see this here in Joshua, Caleb was a drawn climber. He was drawn in life. When he was 40, when Moses promised him the Hebron Hill country, Numbers 14, 40-year detour in the wilderness, his dreams were put on hold for 40 years. Never forgot that promise. At age 85, he approached his friend Joshua, and we'll pick up the story here in Joshua 14, starting in verse 10. Joshua 14, starting in verse 10. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong as this day, as on the day Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain, of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Caleb was drawn by following God's way. His faith was strong. We know that. The question is for us, are we a driven people? Do the trials in life drive us towards God? Or have we matured past that now and we are a drawn people to where being a part of that family of God, being in a loving, close relationship with God is truly what makes us take one step after another to complete our rim to rim? I ask you, in closing, are we truly a drawn people?